make me a day, make me whole again. And I wonder what's in a day, what's in your cake this time. I guess here he's gone to LA. He says that behind my eyes I'm hiding, and he tells me I pushed him away, and my heart's been hard to find. Here there must be something.
channelradio.co.uk.
Scoff and Quaff Show with Jules Serkin on Channel Radio.
And a warm good morning and a sunny Dymchurch and Romney Marsh, alpacas galloping. We are celebrating Real Bread Week with the Real Bread Campaign. If you're following that on the Twitter, it's at Real Bread Campaign. I think it comes up as at Real Bread, but it's at Real Bread Campaign. And we're really honoured to have my dear friend and the queen of the bakery for the gluten-free market, which, as we know on this show, Dr. John, is huge, humongous.
It is indeed, yes.
The queen of the bakers, she's left her bakery bakery place. What's it called? What's it called, Ingrid?
A bakery.
Bakery. She's left her bakery. She's rolled down her sleeves and she's trundled in, and she's going to tell us. So it's Ingrid Eiselfeld, and she's going to tell us about her passion and why she got into baking these amazing gluten-free loaves, which are, if you're following them online, it's breadonline.co.uk if you want to buy some, and also 3W's artisanbread-abo.com. They're on Facebook and also on the Twitter. It's at artisanbreadob. Also, she'll be telling you all about the celebrities we're not supposed to mention, but I happen to know, because I've seen it on Twitter, that Carolyn Quentin tucks into, I think it was the, which loaf was it, Ingrid?
She's into buckwheat.
She's into the buckwheat. And if you want to follow Caroline Quentin, it's at Quenty, Q-U-E-N-T-Y, questions. She was raving about it on Twitter, so there you go. And there are other celebrities that we can't mention, of course. Gwyneth. So we'll be talking to fabulous, Ingrid, I trundle down, they have a factory shop in the afternoon, don't you? And what days is that, Ingrid?
Mondays and Thursdays, 2 to 5.
So I trundle down there and get my provisions, and then I've got fresh bread, and also put it in my freezer, of course. So that's great, but of course if you're further afield and you're listening on UK Food Show, you can get it, as I said, on Ingrid's website, which is breadonline.co.uk. So we'll be talking to Ingrid after we've spoken to another master baker. We've got the better half, perhaps. I think actually Gwen is the better half. Don't you, Dr. John?
Yes, probably.
Probably doing all the work, as I berated you for being a male already this morning. listener, poor John. We had a bit of a kerfuffle this morning, and I said it was because he was a man. He was a man. But we have Steve Nathan, one half.
We just get used to it, listener.
We trundle on. One half, so it's Steve and Gwen Nathan. Now, they hail from East Court Manor, and they run cookery schools. He's the head of bread, apparently, and they've been running bread making courses since 2012, and they teach people to make real bread by hand, and they specialise in the sourdough bread. So it's a 14th century manor house in North Kent. We'll be finding out more about it. But they do say that they make bread without the use of processing aids or any artificial additives. And essentially it's flour, water, salt and yeast. So as we know that the Real Bread Maker Week, which is this week, is Britain's biggest annual national celebration of real bread and its makers, which is why we've got Ingrid in the studio to tell us all about it, and Steve on the blower. And the main aim of the week is to encourage people to get baking real bread or buying it from independent bakeries to support their local communities. Hugely important, support local. And you can follow the Twitter hashtag, which is hashtag shop local or hashtag support local. As you know, that on the show we support all of the independent suppliers. We've got the fabulous Budgins, Binny, who's down there, who's had a lot of our producers in his shop in Blean and also in Whitstable High Street. So we're really, really chuffed about that. Right, I think, Dr. John, we should... It's all been a bit fraught, actually, at the beginning. Mm. I think we'll calm down. We'll have a bit of cha-cha rhythm, boys, and let you tell
it's
us what's going on.
Because it was your bad hair day, Jules.
I've had a fabulous hair. Tell me about my hair, Dr. John.
Yes, it looks a bit like a woolly mammoth, but apart from no, apparently she's... She went to a lovely...
I've been flowed.
Yes, been flowed at the...
Flow & Co.
Flow & Co. in Whitstable. Who
not like a woolly mammoth at all, isn't it? Very well. I did have a bit of a rough night, actually. I didn't sleep
well. Oh, that accounts for the sort of... yes, your look this morning when you came out to the car.
The cut is fabulous. He's just being bitchy. Paul Andrews loved my hair. And
no, he actually called you the woolly mammoth.
Thank you to Flo & Co. and the team for doing a fabulous haircut. And actually, Ingrid is sporting a beautiful blonde bob at the moment, too. So, obviously, ladies. Dr. John, what have you got on the Twitter?
Well, we've had a number of people tweeting in. We've had Raven Os I Blanc, which is a wine producer in Spain, who will be coming on. Colin will be talking about their fizzy white wines next week. We've had one of our guests from last week, Nims Fruit Crisps. So welcome to
lovely Namisha.
Yes, exactly.
Been tucking into her fruit crisps. They're apparently part of your one a day or five a day, or
yeah, they are
15 a day now. Fruit.
They're very nice, those. I really did rather fancy those, actually. Mm.
Is there anything you don't really fancy?
Oh, a few things, Jules. A few things.
Maybe a grape.
We've also had macinades shop it just outside Faversham at Macinades. They've been tweeting as well, and we've had a new one I haven't seen before. That's BCB Kent _ Kent, which is a business community breakfast networking group.
Oh yes, they're a good bunch actually. Mm.
And we've also had at Wild Breadhead, which are the bakers that frequent Faversham. Faversham Market on Saturday.
Yeah, hello. They actually, I spoke to them at the weekend as I was lounging on my back with my legs in the air drinking wine.
I would never imagine you lounging on your legs in the air.
It was organic wine, if Ingrid's listening, because she'll tell me. But it was organic, Ingrid. It was Riverford Prosecco. But he was telling me he bakes at the Macinades. Mm. And he sells at Faversham Street Market on a Saturday.
Yeah. Yes, I've seen them actually at the street market.
Mm. And he's into sourdough as well. So hello to you, new listeners. I think he's going to come on the show later in June.
Yes, I've got a note to sort of contact him so he can...
Our real bread month has spilled over into
June. Yeah,
June.
I know. There are so many people interested in bread, that's the thing.
Yeah.
As we'll hear about from Ingrid in a little while.
Any snippets of news, darling?
Yes, well, I actually picked up a very interesting article... and the Daily Mail on, I think it was Monday's Daily Mail, talking about gluten-free and celiac disease. And they were saying it was a research program that was done in Nottingham, which said that found that 25% of all patients with celiac disease remain undiagnosed. And that accounts for about 500,000 patients in the United Kingdom, which is really quite frightening. And I must admit, well, Jules, you and I both know from our just talking to our guests on the show that I think gluten issues are a much bigger issue than a lot of people realise.
Huge. I mean, Ingrid will be telling us later on about this as well, because she's an expert on all things. She's done years and years of research. But I mean, I went to a fabulous dinner at Wheeler's, and it's one of my favourite restaurants, I have to say, although, you know, there are many, many fabulous restaurants that we love.
And you know all of them, of course.
Most of them. And I went... it's part of the job, Ingrid. I went with them...
But she just takes it to task in a very serious way.
I take it very seriously. I went
too seriously,
with,
that's
with
the
my,
trouble.
My beauty expert, Serenity Becker, on the Twitter, that's Rebecca Nutt, and her sister Mary, it was her birthday, and we went. And the girls both had the, I had beautiful skate cheeks. And then I had...
Did you really? I thought it was...
I then had, listener, I know you're taking me seriously, I had a lobster lasagna. But because I'm gluten-free, this is my one bugbear at Wheeler's, and chefs, if you're listening, that they just, because I couldn't have the lasagna, they just took the lasagna away, but they didn't replace it with anything. So I feel a bit miffed. I'm paying the same price, but the lasagna has been taken out because I'm gluten-free. Fabulous meal, but that's my one bugbear. And I think when I was talking to Harry Covert, I went with him to dinner, and I said to him, look, I'll bring some of Ingrid's bread because I'm gluten-free. He said, no, Jules, I'll whip you something up. And he made me a beautiful, using gram flour, very nice bread. And I think chefs have got to take this on board now, Ingrid, don't you? That when you're gluten-free, we don't want to miss out. We want substitutes.
Well, particularly you, Jules, you certainly don't want to miss out,
no.
Do you?
But what would you say on that, Ingrid?
Well, I think there's a reluctance from chefs. It's like if you're vegan and vegetarian, they just throw the knives away, you know. get busy, get active, you're a chef, exactly.
But it's more than just that, about customer service. I mean, you've got customers, you should be supplying what the customer wants, not what you think the customer wants.
And is it also about training in the schools, in the cookery schools?
It's a combination of many things, I think.
Yeah, I think chefs have to wake up to the gluten-free, the vegan, the vegetarian, and we will be talking in June about the halal meat thing. So we handled the horse scare last year, but the halal meat must be talked about, because I certainly want my meat to be killed humanely. So we will be getting some butchers on, and possibly Al Salvatore will come on.
Yeah, I'll see if I can get Robert on and talk about that.
Now, while Dr. John gets... did you have some news, or have we read it? I've forgotten.
I've just read it.
Oh, lovely, sorry.
Get with the plot, Jules.
I had a rough night, darling.
Don't we all?
hence my hair looking slightly tousled. Great cut, and thank you for Flo and Co. But I'm going to play Two Little Lads, and we're going to play Baker Street. You know, not just throwing together the music on this show, for all the bakers at Baker Street, while Dr. John gets Steve Nathan... Master Baker from
temporary employment?
East Kent.
Call Temp Network on 01892 531 777.
Let's work it to the bone, bone, bone. Come on, work.
As I said before, I so rudely interrupted. Here is Baker Street.
find some land. He's gonna give up the booze and the one night stands, and then he'll settle down in a quiet little town and forget about everything. But you know he'll always keep moving. You know he's never gonna stop moving.
Oh, and that was Baker Street with the lovely Jerry Rafferty, just bringing on our bread theme here. Now on the blower, we have the fabulous head baker. He's head of bread, you know, at the East Court Manor, which is over there in, I'm going to ask him exactly where it is in a minute, but it's in North Kent, and it's a beautiful 14th century manor house, probably with a ghost, I would think. And it's the fabulous Steve Nathan. He's left Gwen there beavering away. And he has been making bread for over 10 years, and they teach people at East Court Manor how to make real bread, as I said, by hand, specialising in the sourdough bread. So, hi Steve.
Hi Jules.
Hello. Now tell me where you're speaking from at the moment.
I'm in Surrey, so one of the really interesting things about teaching people to make bread at East Court Manor is we're a weekend business. We fit this around other day jobs, so I'm kind of actually stuck out in Surrey doing a bit of the day job, but I'm out so I can talk to...
What is your day job?
My day job? I work in HR for a really large UK organisation.
Wow, okay. And then whipping up the sourdough in between?
Yeah, exactly.
Very impressive. Tell me how you started this passion, first of all, with you and Gwen.
So, well, I've always been interested in making bread, and maybe just at the very start of people starting to re-educate people in the UK about making sourdough, I kind of bought some of those early books and just started experimenting the hard way with making bread. And that was quite a long time ago, as you said, probably a bit over 10 years ago now.
Mm.
And just kind of really got into the vein of making my own bread, did lots of experiments trying to work out what worked best, found a way of looking after a sourdough starter, making really nice bread that doesn't fit around having a busy day job.
Mm.
And then a couple of years ago, we'd been in East Court Manor for a little while, and we were looking at what kind of little business could we set up that might share some of our passions, make use of this lovely manor house that we've got. So we set up East Court Manor, teaching people to make bread, and it's just really taken off over the last couple of years.
And congratulations on that to both of you. What would you say is special about sourdough?
There's a couple of things that are really special about sourdough. So firstly, it's got an incomparable taste. So often when people haven't tried it, they think, well, maybe it's got a really kind of sour, kind of acidic type taste. It doesn't. It's just got a lot more bread taste than your normal, even really well-made loaf of bread.
Right.
So it's got great taste. It keeps really well. So a loaf of sourdough can easily last 4 or 5 days, or maybe even up to a week if you kind of keep it in a plastic bag. And so it keeps really well.
And that's with no additives and stuff that you would get in a sort of a supermarket loaf.
No additives, no preservatives, just flour, water, salt, and some of the sourdough starter, which is natural yeast and bacteria that live in a mixture of flour and water.
So, Steve, can I just ask you, just sorry to interrupt, but while we're on that subject, Why do you think, if you can keep a loaf for sort of 3 to 4 days, why are the supermarkets bunging all these awful additives into bread, do you think, to sort of keep the shelf life, if your loaf can keep for 4 days?
It's really around the speed of the manufacture. So if you're making bread at home, particularly if you're making sourdough, usually it's not a problem for people to make up some dough quickly in the morning, stick it in the fridge and deal with it when they get back home after work. So you can take advantage of things going a bit slower. That really helps the sourdough work well. In a factory situation, they're trying to process stuff absolutely as quickly as possible, and in this country over the last 30 or 40 years, the way we've done that is just putting a lot of quite strange additives into our flour and water when we're making bread. And if you get a packet of supermarket bread, have a look on the side, you will see flour, water, salt and yeast in there. You see a lot of other stuff as well, which is to let them manufacture it really quickly, and a byproduct of manufacturing really quickly that doesn't have the shelf life unless it's got the preservatives in.
Yeah, I was. Ingrid just wants to say something here. We've got Ingrid, I don't know whether you've been following the Twitter this morning, Artisan Baker. We've given her a lecture on tweeting, which she's going to sort out as soon as she's back. Ingrid, what did you want to say to Stevie?
Well, I just wanted to add about the additives. The problem is that even if people choose to avoid these additives, they're not on the label, because by law they're classed as processing aids, so they don't have to be listed.
That's
so
terrible.
It's kind of unfair, because people do want to eat real and proper bread, and as Steve said, it's a no time dough. It takes 20 minutes to make these breads from front to end, and the artisan process is 12 to 15 hours.
I was looking at something that I picked up here on Subway, you know, the company Subway, Steve. And
yep.
It says that they're trying to make the fruit the bread better, and that's why they add ingredients, vitamin D and calcium, and then they've taken out high fructose corn syrup, trans fats, and something called azodiocarbonamide, which they say has not the Food and Drug Administrators say that McDonald's uses it in the McRib sandwich buns, according to the CNN, this is, and they say that the this is the Center for Science on the Public Interest, say that this chemical has been poorly tested, and has asked the FDA, what's that, Federation of
Food and Drug Administration.
Thank you, Steve. Yep. Good job you're there, darling. to reconsider whether it should be banned based on concerns about potential carcinogenic risks. So this is why I love you guys, because you're looking into and making a real bread. Hello, Steve.
Yeah, exactly. So Ingrid's exactly right. So they add processing aids. The other thing that bread manufacturers have been doing commercially to try and tidy up those ingredient lists is adding enzymes, which again are kind of produced at large scale, and they add them into the bread, and those don't need to be declared on the label. So you might get tiny amounts of those enzymes occurring naturally within the yeast, but it's quite a different prospect to be kind of adding them out of a barrel to the bread mix. So as I'm sure Ingrid is as well, I'm really passionate about, you know, what you can achieve with just flour, water, salt and yeast. It's pretty easy to do at home. You don't need a lot of fancy equipment. And sourdough really kind of, for me, is the pinnacle of great home bread making. So it's got these great keeping qualities, great taste, and it's easy to fit it around other things that you might be doing either during the week or at the weekend.
What kind of people are doing your courses, Steve?
I get all kinds of people. So I get occasionally get people who are kind of, you know, they've got young kids and they want to improve the kind of food that they're getting. I might get retired people who are kind of, you know, learning all about real food in all its different domains, and they're kind of, you know, they're doing the butchery courses and the vegetable gardening courses and the foraging courses, and they're coming on the bread course. I get people who are just really enormously enthusiastic about bread. They cook for all their neighbours.
I want a neighbour like that.
Their skills. There's quite a few around, so the Real Bread Campaign, we're members of the Real Bread Campaign,
yeah.
Great supporters of the Real Bread Campaign. If you're the kind of person who thinks you might be interested in doing that, or if you've got a friend who might be interested in doing that, the Real Bread campaign does a lot to help you get set up, kind of provide a lot of advice, put you in touch with people that have done that in other parts of the UK, so you can actually learn what's involved and get yourself set up at a very small scale. And now there are quite a lot of people doing that. There's quite a lot of bread heroes around the UK, including some in Kent, where they just do it out of their own domestic oven, very small scale stuff. They deliver it either on a bicycle or in the back of a car, or by foot, just making really great bread for their friends and family, and earning a little bit of pocket money on the side as a result.
Now, if you want to follow Steve and Gwen at Eastcourt Manor on the Twitter, they're at Eastcourt Manor, and your website, Steve, could you read it out for me? It's
www.eastcourtmanor.com.
Yeah.
That's one word. .co.uk.
Brilliant. I'm going to play a little tune, and I'm going to come back to Steve. Are you okay to stay on the line?
Yep.
Okay, so play a little tune, and it's Anita Baker, another baking theme. And we'll talk to Steve in a couple of minutes after this song.
Stay with me, and you will see my eyes
And that was the fabulous Nita Bake. I haven't heard that for ages. It's very, very nice. And I'm loving this bread theme. So back with Steve Nathan, who's our bread baker extraordinaire over there in North Kent, although at the moment he's in Surrey, lounging on a bed in a hotel, apparently. It's the rock and roll lifestyle of the bread maker.
of course, Ingrid knows all about that.
Yeah, she's very rock and roll. Steve, Ingrid wanted to ask if ever she could do a gluten-free baking course at your place, your manor house. She quite fancies it.
Oh yeah, I think we should definitely talk about that. So I really have to admit I've specialised in all the wheat-based flours. So we've just launched a rye sourdough course, but there's still some gluten in rye, although it's less than normal wheat flour, and the sourdough helps break it down a bit. But yeah, definitely interested in having a discussion about that.
Because you've also got the kamut as well, which someone I know, what's her name, John, the baker in Canterbury that does the kamut. We're hopeless, aren't we? We'll come back on that. But one of our lovely, we know her so well. I've got a
little. Oh, you mean Vicky Feldman?
Yeah, thank you very much. And Barry, Vicky and Barry. And Barry, her husband, Steve, is, if ever you need anything for your manor, he does the most amazing, beautiful driftwood furniture with glass tops. Very, very reasonable. Makes dining tables and chairs. I'm amazed. And he's not very good at promoting himself, hence I'm doing it for him. But Ingrid, what would you say to what Steve just said about the flowers?
Well, you know, the term sourdough has been sort of associated with a certain kind of bread. I just wanted to say it's actually just a method of how to make bread, a very ancient one, and you can do this with other grains. There is more to life than wheat, and for many people wheat is such a huge problem that there really, you know, is time to do some alternatives, and the only alternatives we have now is the supermarket gluten-free bread, which is
awful.
You're excused for finding it disgusting.
It is, it's just awful.
It just sits like a lump of lead in your stomach afterwards, that's the trouble.
Yeah, yeah, well I think, there you are Steve, so you and, we'll get you two together, you and Ingrid, after the show, and I'd certainly come along and have some courses with you guys, and perhaps we could have a scoff and quaff bakery special at Eastcourt Manor. So what are the plans? What other plans do you got? Do you do sort of overnight stops, B&B or anything?
No, we don't.
Just in case I drink too much, you know. Tuck up in one of your rooms.
Perish the thought, Jules, perish the thought.
I do like a bit of Prosecco, Steve. I don't know whether you've noticed.
No, I've heard
that. And Carver and everything else.
Oh, it's gluten-free.
Bubbly. although it sounds very grand being a manor house, because it is quite old, and I think the original lords of the manor, I don't think were all fabulously wealthy, so although undoubtedly it used to have more bedrooms, it's a four-bedroom house now, so... you're more than welcome to stay, but I don't think we could quite squeeze a B&B into...
I'll bring a little camp bed with me, that's yeah. What you're saying.
Yeah.
And now, what about bread machines?
Bread machines. So, now, I know a lot of people out there have got bread machines, and it's become a really hugely controversial topic. Are people for bread machines or against bread machines? And
mm-hmm.
Someone was telling me last night, you know, the Prime Minister has come out for bread machines now.
They all jump on the bandwagon, these politicians, don't they?
So my view on bread machines then is, if you've got a bread machine, you use a bread machine to make your bread, you're way, way ahead of anything you can buy from the supermarket. It's miles and miles better. You know what you're putting in there, so you can, you know, do your flour, water, yeast and salt. You can use gluten-free flour in there. You can add nuts and seeds, olives, dried tomato, or some sweet stuff and some chocolate chips or... something nice like that. So that's all good. But if you're just about to go out and buy a bread machine, what I would say is have a look at Real Bread Maker Week, maybe buy a book, maybe think about coming on a course, because when it really comes down to it, you can do nearly all the stuff with a mixing bowl and maybe a dough scraper. You don't need to spend all that money on the machine. Just, you know, get a mixing bowl out, get a recipe book, give it a go. We've got some free recipes, free booklet on our website as well, if you don't want to invest that way. So give it a go that way first, because bread machines are a compromise. They're not quite as good as an oven for baking it. You kind of get the dough blade in the bottom of your loaf. You can't make different shaped loaves. But, you know, I'm more for them than against them, I would say.
better than buying from a supermarket.
Yeah,
is the thing. But the next, but the even better thing is to come along, do a course with Steve and Gwen, that's fantastic. I have a funny little thing to tell you here. A prison chief, Steve, failed a drugs test after eating bread with poppy seeds from his jail's canteen. And the senior officer said to be Governor Edmund Tullett tested positive for some opiates found in heroin after trying the loaf at London's Brixton prison. He agreed to have the test after several cons appealed against their positive drug test, blaming the poppy seed. And now the loaves, already banned from US jails, have been removed from canteens at the Category C prison in Brixton. And a source said, the inmates were adamant they had not taken drugs. Word got around it could be the poppy seeds, and they mounted a case to the governor. That's my sort of prison voice. Fair play to him.
I wonder what it was.
Fair play to him. He tried the bread and the same thing happened, so now the inmates are in the clear.
So clearly you've been to prison as well, have you, Bill?
So, Steve, what do you say about that? Poppy seeds and opium. Do you think that's an April Fool or is it real?
Well, I heard that on the radio as well, and I think it must be real. I really like bread with poppy seeds or on top. It's a really easy thing to do, and now maybe I know why I liked it so much.
Are you feeling strangely relaxed?
Yeah.
It would explain Jules' present demeanour quite a lot.
Although, you know, I'm of an age, Steve, because I'm ancient.
Really?
Now. Yeah, I can only be in media on radio now because, you know, I'm not Kat Thiele or one of those...
Yes, she doesn't do well on television.
I'm too tubby for television. But I'm of an age now where a poppy seed gets stuck in my teeth, Ingrid.
You should have so many teeth. You should get a full pulled out, and they wouldn't stick.
No,
would they?
It's the receding gums, isn't it? As you get older, so now I go everywhere. A little bit of dental floss. That's what I do, Steve. So if you take me for lunch, Steve, I'll always.
You
have
wonder what these little white things dangling out of
my mouth. Right, gallop us off your courses. When have you got your dates in front of you?
Yeah, I've got a few other dates. So we run three types of course. We've got a sourdough course. We've got an advanced course where you do stuff like brioche, which is you make quite a dry dough and then you add tons and tons and tons of butter to it.
Ooh, not fattening at all then, darling.
Well, everything in moderation. And
that's what Jules says every chef. Then trouble, she doesn't keep to it.
I've got four loaves to eat here in the studio. I've only got half an hour left, Steve.
You better get munching.
And that's not counting the bottles of Prosecco and Carver that are sitting around the place.
The awful thing is, Steve, that after this I tumble off and do the Business Bunker show, which is live at 1 o'clock with the very swelt snake hips, Paul Andrews. You can follow him on at Business Bunker. So I'm usually either ratted or stuffed when I do the business show.
As the actress said to the bishop.
Carry on with your date, Steve. Sorry to interrupt
you. I'm going to stay on the dates here. So,
yeah, you carry on.
The advanced course with brioche, you must do ciabatta, which is a really, really wet dough, more wet than you can stick your hands into, so have to handle that. And as I say, we've just launched this rye course. I'm finalising the details of that, but we'll do a nice light European rye sourdough, probably put some poppy seeds in that. We'll do something like a pumpernickel or a black bread. We'll do a full-on sourdough rye as well. So the dates for those on the sourdough course, we've just added a new date in July because you were
full, weren't you? Chock-a-block.
Yeah, we sold out until September.
Good
so
for
we've
you.
Got a new date in July. We've got one place left for August. We've got places for the end of the year. On the advanced course, we've got two places left for next month, and after that, the next advanced course will be in September. And the rye course we've just put on at the weekend. That will be the 16th of August. So, if you're interested in having a look at those, you can go to our website.
Tell us again.
It's eastcourtmanor.co.uk.
Brilliant.
That's all one word. There used to be a West Court, but that no longer exists, so it's just East Court. And if you click on the courses or book now, it's got all the dates there. You can have a look on there, pick a date that works for you, or there's instructions on there to get a gift certificate if you've got a friend that you really want to make bread for you and you don't want to pick a date for them yet.
Thank you very much, Steve, for coming on. Love to Gwen, and we'll be speaking to you very soon, and no doubt Ingrid will be in touch with you, and we'll all come along and do a scoff quaff special bakery course, and I'll bring my camp bed. But for now, Steve Nathan, thank you very much from Eastcourt Manor. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye bye. Nice to speak to you.
Bye.
That was fabulous, Steve Nathan, putting up with the frolics of Dr. John Sykes. Now, Dr. John, what have you got?
Well,
lots of Twitter.
Yes, we have indeed.
Squirries?
Yes, Squirries particularly. They've actually signed up Kent Fine Foods to join their celebration on the 20th to 21st of June, which is their when they launch their white, sparkling white wine. You should try some of it. It's absolutely delicious.
I have, quite a lot.
Yes, yeah, I know you have. I had a white bottle in the week as well.
And they're also looking for bakers.
Yes, they are.
Can you read that out for
us? So I didn't see that.
They're looking for bakers on the 20th and 21st of June. So that's at their Squirries grand sort of opening, like it's like a festival, food festival. So that might be something for Ingrid and also for Steve Nathan. And you've got something from Bertarelli's bakers there, haven't you?
Bertinet. Of course.
Have you got that up?
Yes, I have indeed.
But also on the scoff, while John gets that up, we've got quite a few tweets. We've had, of course, Aylesford Priory, who are our sponsors today. That's this Sunday, and John will be telling you more about that in a minute. We've had a new listener at Coolest of Cats, Rosie, saying, "Drat, I've missed the show," and I'm telling her we're still live. So there's that. Also, have you found it now, John?
I've got it. I'm just trying to pull
it
up.
A little furrowed brow. We've also had new listeners, Green Mustard. It's at VT Mustard. And they are a super tiny mustard company, and that's the way they like it. And you can follow them for recipes with mustard. And they're in Richmond in Vermont, so howdy to you guys. Nice to have someone from the States. Brant McNaughton at Dreaming Blue Sky. Great show, enjoying the foodie chat. Interested in what Ingrid's saying. And also Steve Nathan. Hello, John.
Yeah, we've got something from Bertinet Bakery, and they're actually in the middle of a course at the moment, actually, as we speak, from the 12th to the 16th of May, a five-day course. But they have another one-day sweet dough course on June the 12th, and a bread-making course on June the 14th, which is one place left, and a one-day baking bread-making course on the 20th, with two places left, and lastly, a three-day bread-making course on the 30th of June, which I presume has still got a number of places left.
Fabulous. Sorry, I'm tweeting. So anything else to tell us while I tweet?
Yes, indeed. We've had at Dream Blue Sky have tweeted in.
Dreaming, that's yes, Brant McNaughton.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, I didn't realise you'd already read that one.
You met at my luncheon.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, okay. I was obviously
with the lovely Liz.
Oh, okay, yes. And we've also had... where was it? Oh, Charleroi's UK, a lifestyle magazine, also new, that does food and drink, on the tweeting also. We've also had Coolest of Cats, which is a veggie and organic foodie.
Orgy?
I said organic foodie. Trust you to pick up on such a thing, isn't it? We've also had a tweet from Must Chup, who's on our website. He's the guy that does the lovely spicy, or should I say, mustardy tomato ketchup.
That's for adults.
Yes, for adults. Sold in sermons. Yes,
in Paddington, where I got
indeed,
first chicken.
Yes,
right, well, we're going to play a song, Dr. John, and then we're going to have the fabulous Ingrid on, who's going to tell us all about her artisan bakery in Whitstable. And now we're going to play, in her honour, a little bit of bread. It's a bread show, you know.
You sheltered me from harm, kept me warm. You gave my life to me, set me free. Hated you, and I would give anything I own.
and that was the fabulous Bread. And we're going to go over to Dr. John Sykes for a little update on some of our sponsors. We've got three sponsors in
we
this
have
show.
Indeed. We've got Elsford Farmers Market, who are regular sponsors, and they are the third Sunday every month. And Steve and his merry crew have got 35 plus stalls at Aylesford Priory this coming Sunday, including Campervan Chef and John the Baker. And the charity at Aylesford is RSPB, and for those of you that aren't aware, each month they have a free pitch at each of their markets, including Aylesford, for charities, local charities. So please do get in touch with Steve on 7557739903.
Thank you, Dr. John. And now to introduce the fabulous Ingrid from Artisan Bread, Ingrid Eiselfeld, who hails from Whitstable.
Our hometown, in fact.
Yes, very handy. Ingrid, it's great to have you here. It's National Bread Week, as we know. So tell us about some of the myths about gluten-free bread.
Well, the biggest myth is that gluten-free crumbles, and somehow, have you ever tried to cook rice that isn't sticky?
Let's just say that the supermarket gluten-free bread does crumble.
Yeah.
Maybe. But yours, tell us about it.
Well, it's an excuse to use an additive which I'm determined to rid this world of. It's called xanthan gum. And I have heard so many stories from people who have so many problems, and they are akin to the problems you get when you're a celiac. That's bloating, that's very uncomfortable bellies, losing weight, heartburn, headaches. They're all associated also with gluten allergy or with an intolerance to gluten. However, xanthan gum can cause the same symptoms. Now I have no scientific proof for that, and I'll probably get arrested after the show, but I think it's a terrible ingredient.
If you get arrested, then you get poppy seed on your bread in jail, so perks.
I won't notice.
So you're baking without xanthan gum?
Of course, yes. We've just gone back to basics, to the sourdough method, and not using wheat, obviously using quinoa, buckwheat, linseed, rice, you name it. We're even using peas and beans because we were looking for something that's really high protein, easy to digest, and that's where the pea bread came in.
And also your seaweed.
And we use seaweed ingredients. We'd like to call it a functional bread, really, and we have actually won an award as the most supportive for nutrition professionals in 2011. And that's because of some of the things we use, like you can't taste the seaweed, it's just there, it's in the background, and it gives you minerals and vitamins and things. I mean, seaweed contains all the things that land vegetables have long lost, and you don't need large amounts. It also helps you to reduce the salt. So some of the bread, there's so little salt, you might as well not bother.
Yeah.
That's one of the ingredients, and one I'm particularly keen on. Again, it's not there to taste, it's a calcium, and it's from seaweed, and it comes from the west coast of Ireland, and there's a lot of research. It helps with pains and from arthritis, and what a nice way to eat your supplements, so you don't have to swallow pills, you just eat a slice of bread.
I think that being gluten-free, as I have been for first of all was wheat-free, as you know, and then I went completely gluten-free when I saw a nutritionist, and you know, the thing you miss most is a lovely sandwich.
Indeed.
That is the thing that most people, or a piece of toast.
Yes.
And I noticed on the Twitter that Carolyn Quentin, the actress, said to you, "I don't know who you are, but I absolutely love your bread, and I'm tucking into some buckwheat toast." So you have the celebrity trail have discovered you, haven't they?
They have indeed. Yes, we do supply film sets, and we've had the lovely Emma Forbes in the bakery. They did a whole film for Channel 5. And turns out she's been a customer for years, so her favourite is the linseed, and it's just great. She turned up with the lunchbox because she usually takes her own food to location, and she just closed it and put it back in her bag. Tucked in. It's lovely, yeah.
So have you discovered, because Harry Covey, we were talking about him earlier, he made me a gram flour loaf, and he put beer in, but of course it wasn't gluten-free beer. So have you managed to track down gluten-free beer suppliers, or do you want me to do that, or Scoff and Quaff to do that for you, or have you managed?
Well, we're experimenting with a vegetable seaweed cracker, and we actually use beer for that. So I haven't quite perfected the recipe. I tried to make my own beer, but I think the baking, that didn't work.
And I think, you know, you're busy enough when I've seen you with your baking without becoming a brewer as well. Yeah. Although maybe your sideline. What about your lovely glutini things you make? I used to come in and have those little round things.
Well, we do three sizes of bread. We do loaves, which are sort of 7 slices, and then we do these little things called glutinis, which we've trademarked, and they are like a panini, gluten-free panini, and they have actually, well, they've taken off. We're now shipping them by the pallet load to Switzerland, would you believe it?
Wow.
We've been discovered by a chain of top quality vegetarian restaurants, and they've trialed them in their London restaurant, and were so successful that they've now introduced them to all their Swiss restaurants. And they're just a lovely alternative. And, you know, the thing is, people think gluten-free is disgusting. Well, in this restaurant, there's 2 baskets. You've got the little bites and you've got the wheat rolls. Mm. And guess what? People just go for the bites.
Exactly.
Because they're lovely.
I've been to breakfasting at the a hotel in Canterbury, the Abbott's Barton, and the chef there has made me gluten-free brownies and put them on a separate plate with the other brownies. And the gluten-free ones go first. And at my dad's wake, the Marine in Tankerton did a load of gluten-free food for me, and that went first. The gluten-free sandwiches went first, and the gluten-free cakes went first.
I would like to add that gluten-free isn't automatically healthy, because a lot of the flours you buy in the shops, they're full of cornstarch and potato flour. That makes them cheap, but it also makes them quite problematic. And the recipes don't work very often, because that's another reason. They sell you the xanthan gum to go with it, so you can glue everything together.
Mm.
There's no need. That's the other myth, you know, gluten, you must buy a special flour.
Mm.
Hey, just take a coffee mill or some food processors, many of them do mill flour, and make your own.
We must put you also together with someone that was on that brings in flour as well, John, remind
me.
Hold up this beautiful bread, it smells absolutely divine. Tell me what you've got. She's got 4 beautiful loaves here.
Well, I'm introducing a new one. This is prototype, a seeded brown, which is basically made with buckwheat and it's got lots of lovely seeds on top and inside.
Carolyn Quentin will be impressed with that
one. She will love it, because the seeds are quite nutty. Then next to it is our old favourite, the soya bread, which is super soft. That's another thing. People squeeze bread to see how fresh it is. Well, you know, people making enzymes know that. They advertise to us bakers, do you pass the squeeze test? Squeezing tells you how soft the bread is, but that's completely artificial in supermarket breads, because it's just added enzymes, and they keep a croissant fresh for 3 weeks.
Can't so be right.
That's not right. It's not real, and that's obviously one of the things the Real Bread campaign is against as well. And there are natural enzymes, like Nathan said early on, in breads, but what they need is time, and that's obviously been replaced in industrial baking with lots of additives. And if you think that additives are bad in conventional bread, it gets worse when you get to gluten-free. And unfortunately, people think they have to use these things because there's no alternative. Well, it's very simple. Make your own flour, mill some fresh, because the oils in these grains are very sensitive and they oxidize and they taste bitter, and you don't want that.
I've had a tweet here, Ingrid, from good friends of ours at Be Fast Friends, the fabulous Sam, and he says to tell you and remind me about Western Brew, who do a gluten-free beer.
Excellent.
And I'll put you in touch with them, and fabulous beer, all gluten-free. So there's one that we know. And also we've heard from Phil Hemmings Bakehouse, another, we've asked him to come on the show, but he's too busy baking, which is, you know, he needs to get an assistant. So if people want to find you, let's read out your website first of all. So it's www.artisanbread-abo.com, and then if you want to buy bread, it's www.breadonline.co.uk. and they are on Facebook, and the link is on the website and also on Twitter. Why do you think that suddenly people are, there's so many people, gluten-free is a huge, huge market. Why do you think this is suddenly happening? Is it that people are more aware, or?
Well, we also get a lot of inquiries from people doing the blood group diet, the genotype diet.
Yes.
These are special genetic, feed your genes, and basically not everything is good for everybody. We're all individuals and we need individual nutrition. And interestingly enough, the EU has just set up a website, which is Food for Me, recognizing that we do need to eat individual foods.
Yeah.
So wheat very often is a culprit, and people have begun to realize that. I mean, when you see some of our followers, like the Vogue editor, my God, she's super slim.
I know, yeah.
Adorable figure. And
just like me, darling, just like me.
And it's about staying slim, staying fit, staying alert, because wheat tends to, you know, go on the hips and go on the belly and slows you down and makes you fatigued. When you've got a high-powered job, you can't eat food like that. You do really need proper nutrition.
Mm.
So that's a large following. And of course, people like celebrities who go for, like, Gwyneth Paltrow.
Well, yeah, Gwynny. But I've noticed even we have Michelle Roux, and, you know, a lot of chefs now, a lot of TV chefs, are slimming down, aren't they? And I'm sure a lot of them are perhaps not saying it, but they are doing gluten-free. A lot of them secretly,
well,
maybe.
Funny you should mention that. We had a whole series where we made bread for the hairy dieters.
Right.
And we were very excited. And then the night before it was shown, they pulled it.
You're joking. But you made it for them.
We made bread for them.
Wow.
With seaweed. It was beautiful. With nori. And, yeah. And they loved it.
I'm putting you in touch with the, as a really nice restaurant I go to in Whitwell. Remind me after the show, I told them that they needed your bread, so I'll be putting you in touch with them. Because so often, as we said, when I go out, and they take away because you're gluten-free, but they don't give back. You know, they don't substitute it with something decent. We've run out of time, so I think there's a whole other show there on the blood group diet and on what Ingrid's doing. But do contact Ingrid, find out more, and find out if you are feeling sluggish, like I was. My symptoms were quite different. They were fluid, you know, fluid retention, and yes, the fatigue. Now, when I eat gluten, my mates that know my face can tell just from my face, and my eyes get dull. It's like my eyes are dead, you know. So there's a whole lot. Do give Ingrid a ring. Could we read out a phone number that they could ring you on?
01227 771881. All our staff are quite aware of the problems, and yes, we do get a lot of calls and questions, but
yeah,
there are lots of things on our website dealing with the usual questions.
So check out that website. We've come to the end of the show. It's great to have had you all joining us. A very, very full and busy show with the Steve Nathan of Eastcourt Manor and Ingrid Eiselfeld of the Artisan Bakery in Whitstable. Check them out, and hopefully we'll get the both of the bakers together, and they'll be going down to Squirries of Westerham, where I'm going to be with my roving mic on June the 20th.
20th and 20th, yeah, you'll be on the 20th, squaffing and scoffing and
I must
coughing.
Let them know that Rebecca at Serenity Becker is going to accompany me, and possibly my mother as well. Dr. John, we've finished the show. Tune in next week. But who is on next week?
We have Colin Wine, our resident wine buff in Spain. And we have Andy Setterfield. And we also have Donna from Brogdale.
Thank you very much. From Ingrid, from John, Dr. John, and from Steve Nathan. Tune in next week, but now stay tuned for the Business Bunker, which comes on at 1 o'clock, and they've got Sally for Cakes talking about looking for sponsors for the deaf football team children in Whitstable. There may be a little hint of lemon drizzle, I don't know, but tune in to hear Paul Andrews on the Business Bunker after this tune at 1 o'clock.
Channelradio.co.uk.
Well, get out in that kitchen and rattle those pots and pans.
Another great Jules Second scoff and quaff show on Channel Radio. No alpacas were consumed during this production.
Hey, I roll my breakfast because I'm a hungry man. I say shake, rattle and roll.
On Channel